Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria. The notable man of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes, pass over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath and the great, and go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. The Lord God has sworn by himself, declares the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his strongholds, and I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. And if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. And when one's relative, the one who anoints him for burial, shall take him up to bring the bones out of the house and shall say to him who is in the innermost parts of the house, is there still anyone with you? He shall say, no. And he shall say, silence. We must not mention the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commands, and the great house shall be struck down into fragments and the little house into bits. Do horses run on rocks? Does one plow there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood, you who rejoice in Lodabar, who say, have we not by our own strength captured Karnaim for ourselves? For behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, declares the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the brook of the Arabah. So Amos, again, is really pressing down on these people. The theme, really, from verse chapter 1 to chapter 6 now is, it continues. There's this repetition that undoubtedly that you've seen in Amos. The repetition, woe to you, look at all this injustice, unrighteousness. The judgment of God is coming. What he's doing is leaving no doubt in the mind of anyone who might question the wrath of God, the judgment of God that's coming. He's leaving no question as for the justification or the reason why God would be bringing this great calamity on these people. As we begin here in Amos chapter 6, let me ask you a couple questions. Are you beginning to see in Amos something of yourself? Are you beginning to see in Amos something of the place in which we live? As we grow and as we learn and as God shapes us into greater and greater Christ likeness, that's one of the really important growth points, is to learn to see ourselves in the scriptures that we're reading. Two things. One, learning to see things from God's perspective. We have our perspective for sure. But when we come to the scriptures, we're learning to see the world, see our own lives from God's perspective. So that's one thing that's very, very critical. And that's the problem when people start cutting out portions of the scripture, a chapter here, and neglecting a book here. It really is, it's not so much a philosophical argument, who can win the academic argument. It's that we're not seeing things from God's perspective as fully as we might. So that's one thing. The other thing, as we grow in our reading of the scriptures and learning of the scriptures, is to learn to see ourselves in the scriptures. Let me put it this way. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, whosoever believes, have you come to see yourself in the whosoever believes? That's what I'm talking about. To see yourselves in the place, in the whosoever will not perish but have everlasting life. I hope you see yourself there. Or learning, as you read Paul and you're in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you growing into seeing yourself? You could even insert your name. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a growth point to see. Not only, it's not merely reading history or reading a piece of literature. It's more than that, to see ourselves in that. Last week we celebrated the resurrection. Have you come to see yourself as one of those who, if you had been given the opportunity, one of those who would have been there, would have been in somewhere in that, and to see yourself as one of those who would have said, most likely, crucify him. Or maybe you've come to where you could see yourself in those wise men, in the shepherds that came into Bethlehem, and you could see yourself. You're beginning to see yourself. Yeah, it's just almost as if you were really there when the Messiah was born. That's really an important piece to our growth in understanding the scriptures and how they apply to ourselves. And it gets really uncomfortable. It gets really uncomfortable if we take it seriously. Putting ourselves into what's being said. It's God speaking to us, putting ourselves into that. And not only that, putting our surroundings into that situation. And when we can do that, we can actually learn something from what God has to say to us. These people were claiming the name of God, Yahweh, as I've emphasized in past messages, and they were not living according to the name. Their life was not matching up with their confession. Have you come to the place where you have put yourself in there? Have you been in a place where your life, your decisions, your the words, the thoughts that you have do not line up with the confession that you have? That's for you to decide. If you're challenged by placing yourself into the Word of God, placing your family into the Word, what God might have to say, placing your nation into the Word, you have, if you would allow me to say to you, you have some work to do. You have a lot of work to do for these scriptures to actually have influence, power, meaning in your life. Amos comes and speaks to these people, and one thing that we can notice in that first chapter, he prophesied against all the nations around. But after that point, do you notice? And right here, at this point, Amos is not mentioning Assyria. Amos is not mentioning Babylon. Amos is not mentioning the Philistines. He's not mentioning the Persians, the Greeks to come, the Romans to come. He's not mentioning those nations. He's not mentioning these other nations. He's mentioning the people of God. He's addressing the people of God. All of these other nations have their problems for sure, living a pagan nation, but they don't make any claim whatsoever. They don't make any claim whatsoever to hold to the name of Yahweh. These people do. These people don't make any claim whatsoever to put God, "In God We Trust" on their currency. Amos is coming to this people who claim that God, Yahweh, is theirs. And they have rights and they have privileges because of that. And he's not mentioning them. He's mentioning their own problems. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. At this point, Amos's message is both to Judah in the south and Israel to the north. He's going to shift and focus again on Israel. But those who are at ease in Zion, Zion is Jerusalem. Those of you who are at ease in Jerusalem, you think you can live any way that you want to live because you're in God's city. You're in Jerusalem. You have the temple that's there. So you can just live any way that you want to. The other prophets will get to Jerusalem. They'll get to Judah. Ezekiel will take care of Judah. But Amos has something to say as well. They're at ease in Zion because they're God's privileged people. Woe to you, he says. Then he shifts. And woe to you who feel secure on the mount. The mountain of Samaria. Samaria is in a high place, the capital city. It's in a high place. It is difficult to scale. It's difficult to come in on Samaria because of its elevated position, just topographically. It's if an army was coming, it would be hard for them to scale the cliffs to come up to Samaria. Woe to you who are secure on the mountain of Samaria because you think you are in a place that you're so secure. You think that your military stratagem has made you so secure from all of the nations that might come in on you. Woe to you. I'm talking to you, Amos says. You people who are claiming the name of God in Jerusalem, but now here in Samaria. Well, once again, here as we come back into Amos, just quickly a map on the overhead here. Israel to the north, Judah to the south, the dividing line between the two nations there. You can see Samaria on the map. You can see Jerusalem on the map below. This one may be a little bit more difficult to see, but I just to highlight it. You've seen this map before, but over to the right side, there's a reference to Lodabar and Karnaim. Those are some strange names, but all we need to know at this point is just that they're up there around the Sea of Galilee. That's what he is saying. In verse 13, you who rejoice in Lodabar, who say, have we not by our own strength captured Karnaim? Well, that's where he's talking about, up in that area. And so that will serve us to know something about what he's talking about. Remember, Assyria is way off the map, up to the north and east. But God's going to use Assyria against Israel. These leaders in Israel and Judah had an inflated opinion of themselves and an inflated opinion, inflated sense of their military security, as I've tried to describe in just a few moments ago, in a few words. Woe to you in Zion, woe to you who feel secure, security, on the mountain of Samaria. The notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes, all of Israel comes to these notable men for their advice, for their direction. Woe to you, notable men. Woe to you, notable leaders, leaders of the people. They have an over-inflated opinion of themselves. Whether God's people, they can live, do, act, say any way they want to. That's really what's in their heart. They may walk around day to day a little more gentle than that, but the rage in their heart is, we are superior to any nation around us. That's their attitude. There is no nation across the whole entire Near East, around the globe, that is like us. We are God's people. And we're doing things right. So if we bring in the religions of the nations, if we have some syncretism, if we conduct our daily affairs, as we'll see in a moment, in a way like the other nations of the world, well, really, okay, God may not like it, but at the end of the day, we are God's people. And Amos says, woe to you. Woe to you. They have an overinflated opinion of themselves and their security. Remember the way out of this situation. Is there a way out of it? We read earlier, seek me and live. The message of the prophet is seek me, seek God. Repent from all of this, seek me and live. Go in a different direction. Live. Surely there may have been a few, we're not told of it, but there might have been a few that heard the word of Amos and they identified with it as they went back to their home and as mom and dad told the kids, and this is what God is saying and trying to say. We can't look upon our leaders to do anything for us because they're going to bring God's judgment on us. But what we might want to do is we may take His word and we repent and we move and draw deeper into God for God's security. What the people had done is replaced the security of God with the security of the world. Replaced the security of God. Replaced the security of God with the security that the world provides. And the prophet Amos is coming to people in this place, in Israel, in this northern kingdom, and is saying, woe to you. And we'll find out next week they don't like it too much. The way out are you hearing me? The way out is to go deep with God. Get under the covering of God, the protection of God, and believe by faith, clinging to God and God's protection. And God will do with you what He sovereignly chooses to do with you. Have you come to the place where you put yourself into the story of Amos? Where you've come to where you put your surroundings, your nation, your culture, your society into the message of Amos? Don't worry about those wicked people over there in Babylon. That's Amos. Don't worry about those wicked people over there on the other side. You're concerned with them. You're going to go over there and whip them. I'm coming for you. There's hope here. A lot of it. Well, these people are pushing God out of their mind. He says in verse 2, pass over to Calneh and see for yourself. Go to Hamath, go down to Gath in the Philistines and the Gaza Strip. Are you better than these kingdoms? Look at these kingdoms are pretty nice places that have gone out of existence. Are you better than them? You think that you're better than that civilization that was over there? You people got a lot of pride. Or is their territory greater than your territory? Or you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? So what he's saying here in verse 3 is that these people are putting away the day of disaster. It can't happen here. It won't happen here. We are, as I've already said, a special kind of people. It can't happen here. And as they're pushing it away, they're actually drawing it near. That action, those of you who put far away the day of disaster, it may happen in the next generation. In the other, we might say today, those of you kicking the can down the road, it might happen down there. And as you do that, I'm coming. Now see, if a person takes a passage like this and can get some application into our lives, we can learn from God. We can grow. We can grow. We can be secure like we never thought we were secure before, but we have to let the Word speak to us. It wouldn't be possible for these things, the day of the Lord, the disaster, the judgment of God to come on us, but sure enough, it's going to, and history proves that out. One of the things that I've mentioned before is, we go down through here, one of the things of Amos and the other prophets as well, but Amos is just so very pointed and tight, succinct with the way he says things. We can see what God despises, what God hates, and that's very, very helpful. Don't want to be on the wrong side of God. These people, woe to you who lie on beds of ivory. There's nothing wrong with sleeping on a bed of ivory. Ivory was used in the Near East, and back in the ancient world it was used. But again, it's going back to their attitudes. Woe to you. And Amos is pointing to their opulence, their wealth. We've already seen this. He's repeating again. Woe to you who lie on the beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches. Living a life of ease. Stretching out on the couches. Doing whatever people do when they stretch themselves out on couches. Eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall. And the midst of the stall is where the fattened calf would be. That was for the choice meat was in the midst of the stall. They were pleasure-seeking people. Those who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David would invent for themselves instruments of music, thinking that they're so musically wonderful, not even no comparison with King David, but thinking of themselves in such high esteem. Singing idle songs, don't glorify God, don't honor God. Idle songs, piddling songs, frivolous songs. Songs that would enliven their festivity. Who drink, verse 6, who drink wine not in cups but in bowls. Drunkenness. And anoint themselves with the finest oils. The finest oils. Oil used for cosmetic, perhaps medicinal purposes, but cosmetic purposes. Those of you who have the finest cosmetics, those of you who drink out of bowls, drink that wine. Get in altered states. Stretch out on the couches. Sleep on beds of ivory. And you are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Joseph, that's a word. Joseph's a patriarch, of course, but all of Israel. The ruin. There's a material, physical ruin, but more so a spiritual ruin of these people. Spiritual corruption is reigning, which leaks out into physical corruption, as he's laid out. All of the abuses to the poor, the injustices, the manipulations these people are going through, storing up for themselves great wealth and living in a place of great privilege, and there's people that are hurting, and there's people that bring their claims to the gate. They bring their claims to the judges, and the judges won't have anything to do with it. They turn them away. We thought about that a couple weeks ago. They do not have the perception that is necessary, according to Amos. They cannot perceive. They cannot perceive the spiritual condition of the nation that they're living in. And he's speaking to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria. The notable men, the leaders, the wise people, the respected people, the people who, the population, the common people, they go to help settle their claims. They go to and listen to for leadership in what might take place in their nation. There's no spiritual perception among those people that they're rotten to the core. No spiritual perception whatsoever. Because you know it's Babylon's fault. It's Egypt's fault. No. Amos is saying to Israel, you're rotted in the core of your being. You are so rotted, you cannot perceive. It wouldn't occur to you. It wouldn't occur to you that the problems, the judgment of God that's surely to come on you is because of the spiritual void, the spiritual vacuum that you have. You know I'm going to say it. The judgment of God that's coming on this nation and is already here is because of the spiritual corruption that is at the heart of this nation. Everyone in this room loves this country. It's important. It has an important, sincere place in our life. But are you so blind, living on the Mount of Samaria, that you can't see or you can't articulate to someone who needs to hear this, articulate to them that this country, not that one over there, this country is so corrupt spiritually, having the name on the currency in God we trust, claiming the name of Jesus, celebrating Easter with all of those frivolous eggs dropped out of the sky. Can't you see the judgment that's coming and is already here is because of spiritual issues at your heart? Can't you see it? I know some of you already see that. I hope that you can help other people see it themselves. There's only one way out. It's not the IMF, it's not the World Economic Forum, it's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's not a political candidate, it's not the school board, it's not the military. There's only one way out, and you, I hope you can see, you live in these times right here. If you want to prep, get yourself prepped with God. That's what will matter in the day. These people have a lot of self-satisfaction in themselves. I don't know about you, but I think about a passage like this. I look at a passage like this, and I grieve for the place that we live in. Not out of hatred, but people walking around in la-la land. Couldn't possibly happen here. No, couldn't possibly happen here, because we have such a privileged place. Verse 7, now, therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out. Notice that's repeated again from up above in verse 4. Who stretch themselves out must have a particular point of anger in God to mention it twice. But the revelry, there we go. That's what's going on, the revelry. And when the Bible's using, Amos is using the word like this, revelry, he means drunkenness. Not thinking correctly, not living according to the ways of God, but living according to the ways of the world. The Lord God has sworn by Himself, declares the Lord, the God of hosts. He's sworn by Himself. There is no higher, there is no greater authority. He's sworn by Himself. I abhor the pride of Jacob, all of the things that I've touched on here, and a lot more. But I abhor the pride of Jacob, and I hate his strongholds. Well, what is the stronghold? We looked at the strongholds before. The strongholds is the place where the fortress is. I abhor the pride of Jacob. I hate his strongholds. All of this pride that I've already described to you, but these strongholds, these are the storehouses. This is where the wealth is amassed. They take great pride, and look at all that we have amassed. Remember the weeks ago that we talked about the storehouses? They rob and they thieve and they pillage from the poor people, the people that are in need, the people that have a claim. They fatten themselves. They fatten their pockets. They keep it in the storehouse there, the food that they need, the riches they need, the wealth that they need. And God says, I hate all of that. You think you're so powerful. You think you're so mighty. I hate all of that. And I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. God's going to do it. So you wonder what would a man or a woman, as I mentioned a few moments ago, in their own home, they're in Israel and they see Samaria, they might get it, but they're not notable people. They might get it, they might see it. They would ensure that in their own heart and in their own little kingdom, in their home, and the people that they have influence over, they would ensure they're coming in deeper and deeper under the covering of God, relying on the wisdom of God, helping ensure justice and righteousness in their little corner of Israel, ensure that justice and righteousness takes place, living according to the ways of God. They'd take care of that because they can't take care of all of Israel. Do you see the people of Israel? They're in a very, very, very difficult situation. The leaders whom this is addressed to, the notable people of Israel, are wicked. And God's coming after them. They are wicked people. And the people of Israel, if they have a claim, they have no one else to go to. They're in a situation, they have to go present their claim at the gate. they have to present themselves to at the gate, their claim, to the decision makers who are stretching themselves out on the couch. They're in beds of ivory and they're drinking wine by the bowlfuls. They're living it up. And we've already seen by Amos, they can't get a hearing. They are in a terrible situation. Some places might be like that today. In a terrible situation, if they wanted change, they are in no position to change the power. The power structure in Israel, these people, and Amos is coming and he's saying, you people up there, God's coming for you. And unfortunately, the people that are living in Israel are part of that invasion too. But the message is, Amos makes it very clear, seek the Lord and live. Our message to whoever you know, whoever you could share this with, and someone needs to hear this in your families or people in your circle of influence. They might not like me if I told them something like, somebody needs to hear this. The way of security is drive into Jesus Christ. Find eternal salvation under Jesus Christ. Attach yourself to the cross of Jesus Christ and grow. Grow like you never grew before. It was not in the mindset of these leaders that they actually had become the enemies of God. We can't really grasp a hold of the depth of that for most people today, because they have the blood, the lineage. They have the right lineage. They have the right blood. They come out of Abraham. These people. It would be for someone to come and say, you have actually made yourself a hater of God, an enemy of God. Look at your life. Look what you do to these people. You treat them unjustly. You don't live in the righteousness of God. You're an enemy of God. You think you're in a privileged position down there in Zion and on Mount Samaria. You're not in a privileged position. You're an enemy of God, and no one can stand against God. They're actually in opposition to Yahweh. They're not in step with Yahweh. Well, he goes through verse 9 and 10 and talks about those who will die, and that the great house shall be struck down in verse 11. Verse 12, do horses run on rocks? Well, that's intentional. No. Horses don't run on rocks unless they want to stumble, trip, and fall and hurt themselves and whoever might be on the person. No. The obvious answer is no, they don't run on rocks. Does one plow there in the rocks? No, you don't run a plow in the rocks. It's ridiculous. Why would you think that you could run a horse on rocks, or that you would plow in rocks? That's so ridiculous. See, Amos is using sarcasm. That's so obvious, nobody would do that. A child wouldn't do that. Run a horse across rocks. Destroy the animal. But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood, and wormwood is bitterness. That theme has been articulated before in Amos. Justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. It should have been obvious to you, Israel, that if you live in ungodly, idolatrous, profane ways and claiming the name of God, of Yahweh, Well, it's ridiculous. No one would do that. See the parallel? He's the horse and plowing. Well, that's ridiculous. It's obvious. Nobody would do it. Nobody in their right mind would do something like that. Drag the name of Yahweh through the mud. It should be obvious. Verse 13, you who rejoice in Lodabar. Now see, on that word, that's very interesting too. On that word, in other places in Scripture, that word is used, Lodabar. But Amos is twisting it, he's using a play on words is a better way to put it. He's just changing the spelling a little bit. And what it means is things of nothing. You who rejoice in things of nothing. Those who say, have we not by our own strength captured Karnaim? Karnaim means horn, a horn, strength, which is a symbol of strength in the ancient world and this world too, horns. You who say, you rejoice in your conquering something that's nothing. It's not that the people are nothing in the sight of God, but here you are, Israel, Judah, they've expanded their territories under Jeroboam and under this kingdom. They've expanded their territory, and life is pretty good. And you think that you're really something because this little place over here that amounts to nothing, you actually went over there and you conquered them. Oh, you really think you're something. Or this one over here who goes by the name Horns. That's a piddly little thing. I don't see you going over there and conquering Assyria. I don't see you going over there and conquering Egypt. I don't see you making your way over to the Babylonians and taking great pride how you conquered them. No, you're taking great pride on this little place over here. See what he's doing? You prideful people, by your own strength. By your own strength. It's what they think to themselves. God's not in the picture. Verse 14, for behold, I will rise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, declares the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the brook of the Arabah, which means the whole country. Lebo Hamath to the north, brook of Arabah to the south. O house of Israel, the Lord God of hosts, he's going to do it. He's going to use something else. He's going to use another nation. He's going to use another means. He's going to use that nation to come and lay waste to these people who are intent on profaning his name. These people who pervert righteousness, they pervert justice. Should have been obvious that moral corruption and injustices was sure to bring social chaos and ultimately God's judgment. I encouraged you earlier to think in terms of placing yourself in the story, in Scripture, just like you place yourself in John 3:16. Place yourself there. For me, when I do that, put myself in the story, this is what I think. We are they. But God never leaves us without hope. Turn in your own life. Turn. Repent of your own sin. Repent. Turn to God. Dive deep. Go into God. Seek God for the forgiveness of the sin that you've participated in. And commit to live under His covering, under His strength. They can't leave the world. They can't just vanish out of the world. They're going to have to deal with the circumstances they're living in. When I say we are they, we're going to have to deal with the circumstances that we're in. But the message of God is seek the Lord and live. Seek the Lord and live. And with intentionality and purpose and fervor, while there's a chance, do that and just see what God does with it. But you know that's the truth. Just do that and see what God does with that. I think God's giving us a message of love here and not hatred. There's a lot of judgment for sure, but it's good to be aware of it before it comes in its fullness rather than after. God loves you and cares for you. Let me pray for us. God of heaven, thank you for the prophet Amos. Help us to see more of ourselves in not only the prophets, but in the gospels as well, where you, Jesus, come and you restore us by your Holy Spirit, giving strength, power where we need it spiritually. We ask, God, for your forgiveness and that you would grant that. We don't want to be apart from you. We want to be close to you. Help us to be a place, a church that can help people understand and see some of these things that are being taught by prophets from long ago have great application for us today. I pray for your people that are here in this room, that you would give them a safe week, a good week, a profitable week, a week of more clarity and wisdom in their own life. Give them great blessing, Lord, I pray, and cover each person, each family. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.